Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview today on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 22nd of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Darren O'Shaughnessy, 37, from London.
And how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thanks.
So, can I briefly take you back to when you initially heard about the project?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Anthony Gormley, so I love going to see his sculptures. And so I heard that he was going to be taking over the fourth plinth and looking for volunteers. And as soon as I heard that, I went online as soon as I could and registered my interest, because I just thought it would be amazing to be part of that. Also, coming from this area myself originally, I was very eager. I've often wandered through Trafalgar Square as a kid and also more recent years. So, I just thought it would be great if I could get involved.
And what was it that actually inspired you to take part?
I just want to be part of an Anthony Gormley work. It's just I've gone and seen his stuff in lots of different places, and I just think it's a really amazing idea. I want to be part of Trafalgar Square for a bit, because, as I say, I've often wandered through it, and you look up at the various works which are in the square, and to actually be one of those works, even for just an hour, I just thought it'd be cool.
How did you feel when you found out that you had a place?
Really good. It was only a couple of days ago. It was quite a last-minute thing. I was actually on the train down from Edinburgh. I'd been up there for a week, and I was on the train down. Usually I don't have a signal on my phone when I come down from there, but luckily this time I did. And I got a call through just saying, did I want to come and do it on Saturday at midnight? And I thought, yeah.
So can I ask you to talk a little bit about what you're planning on doing today?
Yes, well, I write books, horror books for children and teenagers. So I'm going to be reading out extracts from several of my books. And yeah, I think I'm just trying to entertain people.
Can you talk a little bit about how long you've been writing for and why you chose the horror niche?
Yeah, well, I've been writing pretty much all my life, but I'm doing it professionally now for about 11, 12 years. I actually started out writing for adults, but when I wrote a book called Cert the Freak, which came out for kids, and that was quite popular, and I wrote some sequels, they did well, and I sort of ended up doing it by default. I write horror because I've always loved horror, I love fantasy, love sci-fi, and so I write these types of books.
And what is it about horror that you like?
It's like a sort of, I always compare it to a roller coaster ride. It's very, very scary, but at the same time it's safe. It's a controlled environment. So you always know of a horror book or a horror movie, even no matter how scary it gets, it is a work of fiction. You suspend disbelief for a while when you're involved in a story, but at the back of your mind you always know you're on safe territory. And so I think it's a way of frightening yourself, but it's a fun sort of frightening. As I say, just been like on a roller coaster. Very, very scary, but an adrenaline rush at the same time.
And how many books have you written so far?
I've published quite a lot. I've published, I think, about 23 books by this stage. I've got a new one coming out in October. I tend to have three books that are coming out a year at the moment, one for adults, two for children. So the last couple of years have been fairly hectic.
And do you find that when you're writing, obviously you're using horror in a kind of fictitious way, does this translate over into your actual kind of day-to-day life?
No, not really. It is a job. I love writing. It's what I've always wanted to do all my life. But you've got to treat it like a job if you're going to make any sort of advancement in it. You've just got to sit down, force yourself to do the work. So it is like clocking on, clocking off every day. And once I clock on, I'm in that world, and it's a world of vampires and demons and so on. But as soon as I finish at the end of the day, that's it. I go off and I'll watch a movie, I'll do anything. Some of my fans are a bit disappointed sometimes when they meet me, because they're expecting some big, dark, brooding figure who never smiles and wanders around with a frown on his face the whole time. But I'm not like that. Most horror writers I've met aren't like that. I don't really think it matters what sort of genre you write. You treat it the same way, whether it's horror, romance, history. You've got to go about it the same way. So you don't really get involved in it in quite the same way that readers will. Readers get far more worked up about a story because it's new to them. They don't know what's coming next. As a writer, you do. You're in control of the material. You're looking at the mechanics of it. So it's not as much fun being a writer as it is being a reader. But, it's an interesting procedure.
And where do you draw your inspiration from?
It comes from all over the place. It can come from things you see when you're travelling, from movies, from books, things you see in real life. There's no real wellspring of ideas. And I don't think writers are any different to anybody else when it comes to having ideas. Everybody has ideas. Everybody dreams and has nightmares. All you do differently as a writer is you train yourself to turn ideas into stories, to take an idea and to head off in a certain direction with it, a controlled direction. And it's just a process you learn by asking questions, by playing around, by writing lots of bad stories, learning to write good stories. So the difficult bit actually isn't having the ideas. It's being in a position to capitalise on those ideas.
How do you think your writing style has developed?
It's very, very nicely. You never really get an idea of how far you're moving forward until you go back and look at old work. You know, if I go back and look at something that I wrote 10 years ago, you know, you think, ooh. And then, you know, you're always evolving, you're always changing. At the same time, I always like to try something new. Whenever I write big, long series of books, but I'm always trying to change the rules, mix up different genres. So on the one hand, it's getting easier because I'm learning more about it and I can see my style developing. On the other hand, I'm asking more of myself. I'm always trying to do new things. So it's still as much of a challenge as it was 10, 15 years ago. In some ways, it's even more of a challenge because back then, everything was new and yeah, there was no weight of expectation. You sort of, if you failed, nobody knew. Whereas once you start getting your work published, you do feel that from the fans, you know, they want the next book to be as good as the previous 20. So there is that sort of, you know, that little thing, that voice in the back of my mind saying, you better bring up the goods this time or there'll be anarchy.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the characters that you've developed, you've created?
Well, I write as under the name of Darren Shan. And in my first series, it was written in the first person. And the main character was also called Darren Shan, who was based loosely on myself. It wasn't complete autobiography, but it was written as if it could be. He was a boy who met a vampire and reluctantly became a vampire's assistant. The vampire was called Mr. Krepsley. He was a very strange, orange-haired creature of the night. My vampires were different to the ordinary sort of vampires. I didn't want to do an ordinary Dracula type of story. So, yeah, they don't live forever. They're not evil. They can come out in the daytime, but only for an hour or two at a time. So that's what I wanted to rewrite the rules of the vampire legends and do something new with them. There was 12 books in the saga of Darren Shan, and there was literally hundreds of characters in it. So, I mean, Darren and Mr. Krepsley were the main two who drove it through all the way. Then my current series, which is coming to a close this October, it's called The Demonata. And in this one, it's actually three main narrators, three humans who get involved in this war between mankind and an army of demons. Nice, cheery stuff.
And can I ask you a little bit about your childhood?
Yep.
What your interests were and when you kind of realised that you wanted to go into kind of horror, or not go into, realised that was quite a strong passion of yours?
Yeah, from a very, very early age. I can remember being 5 or 6, having a poster of Dracula on my bedroom wall. I'd go to sleep every night looking up at the Lord of the Undead. I can remember catching old Vincent Price horror films. I can remember one where he mashed up a guy's poodles and fed them to him. And I was about 5 or 6 at that stage, and I just thought that was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I loved it, even at that young age. I just loved being scared. And horror was much scarier back in those days, because when you're 5, 6, 7, you believe it's real. You do know it's not, but part of you believes much, much stronger than it does as an adult. But I just loved it. I loved that sensation of being scared. I'd lie in bed at night, trying to frighten myself, trying to imagine scary stories, imagining vampires attacking my flat. And so, yeah, it's just a love I've always had. I often get asked, where did it come from? Why did it start? It's just always been there.
And have you ever been too scared? Can you scare yourself too much?
No, I actually find as a horror writer, I'm not as much scared as I used to be. Because once you're dealing with the nuts and bolts of it every day, it becomes less scary. Because you're seeing it all, you're sort of behind the scenes. It's like if you go onto a movie set. You know, if you go and see a movie in a cinema, it's all very exciting, very glamorous. You go onto a movie set, you've got people standing around for hours doing nothing. There's a lot of work goes into it. So, no, I never really scare myself of my own works. Also, it goes back to what I said a bit earlier, in that as a horror writer, you know what's coming next. You're in control of the situation. And horror is only really effective when you feel as if you're not in control, when you don't know what's coming next. So, no, it doesn't scare me. My own work never scares me. But I still can get a bit scared coming from other writers at times.
And can I ask you a little bit about where you're from?
Yep, I'm from London. I was born in St. Thomas's. I lived in the Elephant and Castle when I was younger. Then I moved to Ireland, actually, as a child, because my family were Irish. And when I came back here about 8 or so years ago, I had a flat over in the East End. And at the moment, I've moved a bit more central. So, yeah, I've sort of been in London most of my life.
And what's your relationship with the city like?
Oh, I love it here. It's an incredible place, especially when you go away. As I sort of, I travel around quite a lot, so it's great when you've been away for a while to come back to it. It's just amazing. I mean, tonight before I came up here, I went up to Regent's Park Open Air Theatre to see Hello Dolly. And you know, you're in the middle of London, we've got this great open air theatre. It's just this, everything you can want is here. You've got the National Gallery, you've got all the theatres at the West End, all the best cinemas, all the best restaurants. It's just an incredible place. I just love walking around it, even if you do nothing else. Just strolling down by the river on a Sunday morning. It's great.
What do you think this art project has brought to the city and to the UK?
I think it's really captured the imagination of people. Because when you hear about it, first of all, you think, well, someone's going to stand on a plinth and, you know, do stuff for an hour. Yeah, how interesting can that be? Then you start watching it and you find yourself watching more and more and you keep logging on. I found myself, you know, logging on now pretty much every hour of the day that I'm online, trying to see, you know, who's up there, what they're doing next. It's just, I think, the unpredictability of it. You just don't know what you're getting from hour to hour. And normally, there's very, very little entertainment that can offer that. When you go to a cinema, you've got an idea normally what you're going to see. You go to the theatre, go to a football match, wherever you go, you've always got an idea of what's coming on. Whereas the plinth, 24 hours a day, you've got 24 different scenarios, and you never know from hour to hour what's happening next. I think it's been magical in a way.
And you said that you're quite a big fan of Anthony Gormley's.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is about his work that you like so much?
That's a hard one to say. I love the fact that he brings figures of people out in different ways. I mean, I love his Insider series for wire sculptures where you have to look at it to see the shadow of a person trapped within. I think it's very easy to just, well, it's not easy, but, you know, lots of people paint the human form, sculpt the human form. I think he's looked beneath and taken it into a different level and shown how you can find the human form in the most unlikely places. He's got a very, very interesting way of looking at the world. That's what I always love, whether it's a movie, a book. It's always nice to find someone who's looking at things a bit differently and showing you something which you've never seen before. And with Anthony Gormley sculptures, I don't think, yeah, I'd never seen anything like that.
Just to go back to your hour on the plinth, what are you taking up with you? And can I just, exactly how you're going to break your hour down?
Yep, I've printed out extracts from several of my books. I've hopefully got a bit more than I'll need, so I should hopefully have enough time to get through them all. I'm going to sort of take them through for my early books, bring them through. I'm also going to read a couple of bits which I've never read out before, because I've got quite a lot of fans watching this online, I think, around the world. So I want, they've seen me doing other events before. Some of the readings I will do quite regularly. So I thought it'd be fun to do something a bit different, because it's such a different environment to what I would normally be in. I think it frees me up to try a couple of readings which wouldn't be on the regular Darren Shan playlist.
And how are your stories normally received by people? I suppose you're normally targeting the kind of, well, a crowd that's wanting to hear that, but by the general kind of public, general...
Yeah, well, it's sort of, when you write for children, you've sort of got two crowds. There's a school crowd, when you go into a school and maybe no one in there has heard of you, and so that's, you've got to win over fans in that case. And then there's events, like in Edinburgh, I did an event up there and you've got people coming to see you. So then obviously that's an easy sell because they're there, they know who you are, they know your work. And so, you know, that's sort of like a little nice little buzz out of those public ones. But yeah, I like the I like juggling the two of them. It's, when I first started out, obviously it was mostly schools because, you know, you've got to earn the right to get a public audience. And, you know, that can be hard work, but at the same time, it's nothing quite like the challenge of going into a school and nobody knowing anything about you and managing to win them over by the end of your 45 minutes or however long you've got. And I suspect it might be similar to that here tonight, although normally in school it's a controlled environment, you've got teachers running the rule, whereas out here there'll be nobody doing that, so it could get a bit raucous. So I'm quite looking forward to that as well. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone tonight and I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah. And ultimately, what kind of experience are you wanting to get out of today?
I'm not really sure. I want to definitely be part of the work as it is, but also then in my own slot I want to see what it's like talking to primarily adults at midnight. I won't have any microphone on me, so I'm going to be projecting my voice, trying to be heard over it. Normally when I do an event, it's in an enclosed environment. You know, I'd have proper PA system and so on, everything's controlled. I just like the spontaneity of it tonight. I like the raw feeling of it, and I think it's going to be fun just to try something different. It might be a struggle, I don't know if the voice will hold up. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to trying something new.
Just quickly, how does it compare writing for children and writing for adults?
I don't really write that differently for them. The one thing you can't do in a children's book is sex. With violence, you can get away from much anything. My children's books are often more violent than my adult books. But, publishers, especially if you've got lots of boy readers, which I do, you know, they don't want any kissing or hugging or anything beyond that. Also, I think it's very important when you write for children that there is a strong moral line running through it. In my books, all sorts of things happen. You know, they are bloody books, very, very gory books, but there is a line between right and wrong. And in adult books, not necessarily so, because adults, they are more morally ambiguous. They can understand where you're coming from, that the world isn't black and white, that there are shades of grey running through it. With children, it's good to have a good message coming through somewhere, even if it's coming through the middle of a load of blood and guts and gore.
Great, well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we've covered a lot. Oh, there's going to be a movie coming out week before Halloween, October 23rd, Cirque the Freak, Vampire's Assistant. So watch out for that.
Great, well, thank you so much.
Great.